I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. At this time, we sing together our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I'll direct you to your propers insert as we confess together our introit, half verse by half verse. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the celebration of Holy Trinity Sunday comes from Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we begin anew our confession on holy baptism. First, what is baptism?
Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word.
Which is that word of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Second, what benefits does baptism give?
It works forgiveness of sins, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare.
Which are these words and promises of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Our second reading comes from Acts, chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we sing together our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Chaos. I think that's a good descriptor for 2020 so far, don't you? Chaos. We've had not only to deal with the coronavirus as of, you know, the end of March and really before that even, but now what are we dealing with in our world? We got riots, we got looting across the country, even as close as places like Champaign and Bloomington. Uncertainty seems to get stacked upon uncertainty, and fear gets stacked upon fear. The last 3 months have been anything but normal. And it seems as if we're always trying to manage the next chaotic course of events that are coming our way. God, on the other hand, is a God of order, not chaos. He shows this reality to us when he creates the universe, the world that we know, the heavens and the earth below. He moved things from chaos into order. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. That word formless in the Hebrew language can also be translated as chaos or confusion, which we've had a decent amount of as well. And so what does God do in the midst of chaos? But he speaks, and he creates light, and he separates the light from the dark. He speaks and he separates the waters from the waters, and he makes the earth and the heavens. In each of the 6 days of creation, God brings about order from formless chaos. He creates the plants, the birds, the fish, the animals of all kinds. God made people. And then he gives them authority over all of creation. What does God say about his order? What does he say about the things that he did throughout these 6 days? He said they are very good. It means that the evil we experience in this world, whether it be coronavirus or looting and rioting, whether it be disease or violence or destruction or dangerous weather or even death itself, none of it existed. Even as Genesis unfolds into chapter 2, we don't see Adam and Eve living in fear of anything God created. There is no suffering, there is no fear, because all those negative things in our world are things that chaos brings. All of those things are from uncertainty, not order. And part of God's order is these relationships that he has given us. Right? Obviously, God is this creator over all, and what does he do? But he creates all of these things to be under him, and specifically, directly under God himself is man. And from man, God makes woman. And then God places all of the creation underneath them for them to use, for them to take care of. Yes, to use its resources in doing good. This is God's order. This is God's hierarchy. So what happened? What went wrong? Why does it seem like everything has been thrown into chaos yet again? Why are we even dealing with things like coronavirus and other various diseases? Why is there war in the world? Why are the major cities of our country having to deal with violent protesting and looting? It's because the world is no longer the way God created it to be. Sin exists now. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the garden, and it only took to chapter 3 for that to happen, it was that fruit that God commanded them not to eat. God gave them order. Don't eat the fruit. That's good order. And what do Adam and Eve do? But they disobey God because they don't want to be human. They don't want to be man and woman. They want to be like God. They try to throw things out of order. And you know what? God gives them their wish. They bring disorder into the world. And when something gets completely disordered, guess what we call it? Chaos. Chaos has broken through. And chaos always brings suffering and death. Consider your own lives. We've all experienced the effects of disorder and sin. Not only has it interrupted our relationship with God, but it also comes in between our relationships here with our family and our friends and our neighbors on earth. Disorder presents itself in our own emotions and in our own physical bodies. Anybody here ever been angry? Or selfish? Or discontent? We live in conflict with others around here, all those around us here on this earth. And we sometimes even get into conflict between God and His Word. In fact, often we get in conflict between God and His Word. But even before Adam and Eve ate that fruit, even before they committed their first sin, even before you committed your first sin, God knew that He would need to save you from the chaos and disorder of this sin-filled life. And so throughout the entirety of human history, after this fall into sin, what is God in the business of doing? But He reveals Himself as a Father who cares for His people. He reveals Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son who dies for the sins of the whole world and rises back to dead to show His power over chaos. God lives in the person of Jesus Christ to feed the sick, to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and finally, as He goes to the cross to suffer and die, He shows us that He is not averse to living in our chaos. But He takes the brunt of it. He is the recipient of all of the chaos of the world, that way you might know that He has power over it. Jesus, through suffering and death, He starts something new. We call it restoration. Remember in Genesis 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." That means as God is holy, He made people holy. But our sin and our chaos have removed that holiness from us. And so Jesus comes to restore it. He comes to give us the image of God again. And by His resurrection, there is a new creation for you. You get to be new. You get to be forgiven. As God removes all of your sin from you. We sing about this all the time, in fact, and you might remember this little part of the liturgy. It normally comes after the sermon, but we call it the offertory. And the first words of the offertory are this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." How does He do that? It's by the Holy Spirit. God the Father loves us as His children. God the Son redeems us. And God the Holy Spirit delivers what Jesus has done into our very own hearts, that way we might be clean and new. It all starts in baptism. When God gives you His Holy Spirit, and when you get to be made new in His sight. That's the time when God started to release you from chaos. And yet, while it is true that you are a new creation, there will continue to be chaos in the world. Disease, death, war, coronavirus, violence, looting. But when Jesus comes again, we will experience a completely ordered creation. When Christ raises us from the dead, He will restore all things. My friends, when God made the world, it was good. And though it has been destroyed by our sin, we have hope and we have assurance that Jesus has begun to restore all things even now. and soon there will come a day when he will come again to complete what he started. But until that day, we put our trust in him, in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves us to the end. We put our faith in him just as we were meant to do from the beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, I'll invite you to stand as we confess together the words of the Athanasian Creed responsively. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore,
he is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages,
and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe faithfully and firmly shall not be saved.
Amen. O blessed and holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear the prayers of your people, and grant to us all things according to your word and promise. In the beginning, Father, your word spoke all things into being, and from nothing you made all that is. Help us to see the imprint of your love in the goodness of creation, and to exercise responsible care of all that you have entrusted to us. Lord, in your mercy. Throughout the ages, Father, your Spirit filled the sin-stained world with hope and called us to repentance and faith. Help us to hear the voice of your word and to respond with faith, confessing you without fear before all manner of people and in every corner of the earth. As you planned long before the world began, deliver us in Christ, that we may be your own and live according to your commands all our days. Lord, in your mercy. In baptism, you joined us to our Savior's death and resurrection, Father. Guide us, that we may live out faithfully the new lives born of water and the Spirit, serving you with all our bodies, minds, souls, and strength. In the face of disease and death, make us bold to expect that we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. Lord, in your mercy. In government and law, Father, you work to establish and preserve order, protecting the weak and fostering godly virtue. Bless our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Deliver the world from the threats of pandemic and tyranny, and preserve the nations in peace. Bless all who defend us in the armed forces, aid us in emergency and medical fields, and inform us with news. Hinder those who oppress any peoples with mistruth, violence, or fear. Lord, in your mercy. In the hour of trial and in the moment of trouble, you are there, Father. Hear us as we cry to you for the sake of the sick, the troubled in mind, the wounded in heart, and those who grieve. Especially this day, remembering the family of Dorothy Immig and those we remember in our hearts. Deliver them from affliction as you will, and sustain them in hope with a patient heart and strength for the day. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in the company of the saints, you have shown us that you will not abandon your people, but will keep them to everlasting life. Receive our thanks for those who have gone before us with the sign of faith, and now rest from their labors. Bring us at last to dwell with them in your presence, forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. In this hour of worship, Father, you serve us with gifts of your grace, so that forgiven, we might know the gift of a clear conscience, and redeemed, we might honor you with all we think, say, and do. Accept the sacrifice of our praise and the tithes and offerings we bring. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know we need, we pray you to grant us, Father, for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen.
At this time, we sing together the offertory.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth, and finally attain to the light of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated for our closing hymn.
We pray to our God, our Redeemer.
Well, again, good morning. I pray the service has been a blessing for you today. God is still in control of our world, so let's at least trust in that and take some comfort in knowing that He still has us in His hands. We're sort of in a standstill with all of our other things other than worship, and so know that we're not going to do our third Sunday breakfast this month, and so just bear with us through the summer as we hopefully can return to some sort of semblance of normal as things continue. I don't have any other announcements. Is there anything else we may need to announce today? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so we are going to have the Lord's Supper next week, and so what we are intending to do is everyone's going to be dismissed by family, and so what'll happen is I'm going to have a table up here that we'll have to bring up probably during the offertory or something like that. We'll figure it out. There might be some awkward pauses and silence and things, but we're going to have a table up here, and what we're going to do is we're going to have people just come up individually as family units. And I have a ton of sanitizer back here, so I'll make sure to sanitize my hands before I touch anything. But I will hand you the host, and then I will place the individual cups, because we're only doing individual cups, on the table for you to grab for yourself. That way we don't spill anything in transition. But then after you have communed, we'll have an elder, an usher or something, wipe down the front part of that table. And then the next family will come up and we'll do the same thing all over again. My intention is to use sanitizer in between each table. That way I can make sure not to transfer germs from one person to another. But I figure as long as I'm using the sanitizer, you won't be exposed to my own. So that's going to be the plan. I will explain it again next week as we gather. It's going to be a little different than what we're used to. But again, we're still kind of trying to get back to normal. And I'd rather be here celebrating the Lord's Supper with a table in this strange sort of way rather than not celebrating it at all. So that's what we have in store for you. So just be aware of that as we continue for next week. Anything else we may need to announce today? All right, we got one last thing then. If you'll take out your monthly Bible verse. Our monthly Bible verse for, what month is it? June? That can't be right. That was last month, wasn't it? Either way, we're going to do Romans 8:28 today. Here we go. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Have a blessed day and a blessed week.